Lord, I thank you so much for bringing us here this morning and just being able to breathe in your presence, Lord, and breathe in your peace, just to relax in your presence, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that we can come and worship you, Lord, and not have to perform for you, because you don't need performance. You desire a relationship. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. Lord, speak to us today. May your words come out like fire. It burns away the old parts of our hearts and our minds, and renew it, Lord. Lord, bring newness to us. Only the way that you can. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have been going through a series somewhat, kind of stepping away a little bit from Philippians 1:27, but it was talking about unity. And everything that we've talked about in the last about 5 weeks have been about unity, either with unity with God, unity with others, unity within ourselves. But every one of those are really tied back into that unity with God and that relationship aspect that we have with God. And we're to the point, and we've been in Romans. We're going to be in Romans 8, starting out with Romans 8, 9, going through 17. And we're at that point that Paul has shared with us that we are absolutely unable to, with our greatest desire, to live unto God a life that is pleasing to him. We are absolutely unable to do it in our flesh, in my own strength, absolutely unable to do it. And I'm excited about that. Who's excited about that? That you are unable to live in your own strength pleasing to God. I'm excited about that, because what it does for me, it says, you know what, Lord, what if you do anything in me, anything that is good, anything that is righteous, anything that is praiseworthy, it is because of your Holy Spirit moving in my life. It takes off all the pressure of performance, doesn't it? I absolutely love it. Because the world says, you got to perform, you've got to do this, you've got to be a certain way. And God says, I just want you in your relationship with me. That's all I want. That's all I desire. Let me be the one who transforms you. Let me be the one who takes you from where you're at and moves you to this new beautiful place where my presence, my characteristics, myself lives through you. That's exciting stuff. That's why I'm excited. So if you ever see anything that is good that comes out of me, you can praise Jesus, because it is not me, because you'll see destruction come out of me. And we talked about that last week, that we have to get that. We have to understand that in my own strength, it will always bring destruction. My own thoughts will always bring destruction. They will go away from God. And if I don't think I'm that bad, just wait until you start talking and you start bringing destruction and you're wondering why it's happening. Why do I still have the same cycle of thoughts? Why do I still have the same cycle of addictions in my life? Why do I still get angry when this happens? Because I'm walking in my own flesh. I'm walking in my own strength. Because the Spirit of God, when He walks, I don't walk with addictions that are destructive, words that hurt. I don't, because His Spirit brings freedom. It brings His characteristics. People see Jesus in us. It's absolutely beautiful. So are you excited this morning? Excited to hear what God has to say to us? Because I think this is going to be really encouraging for those who walk with Jesus. It's going to be an extremely encouraging message. But Paul is also going to challenge those who call themselves Christians but don't really walk with God. Beware. Mentioned this a little bit last week. Now we're going to get into it this week. What does Paul mean about this beware part? It's important for us, especially in this aspect when we accept Christ and we start to walk with Him. And then we get confused sometimes. And we see our inabilities and we think our inabilities are God's weakness in our own lives. And I think Paul has done a beautiful job of dissecting and picking out, you know, that weakness that you're seeing, it's really you. It's not God. It's really you in your own life and how you're living. Because God brings power. He brings freedom. He brings His character. He brings love, unlike I can ever perform. So I think it's absolutely beautiful when I see what God is doing and how He moves and how He works. It's a different lifestyle. It's a different purpose. So in Romans, just as a small review, Romans 8, 7 and 8, he talks about placing our mind, the way we think. We're either going to place it on the flesh or we're going to place it on the spirit. That's my choice. We talked about in the past that in the flesh I'm absolutely weak. I can't fulfill the law of God in my life. Because my flesh, because of sin, is so powerful that it overtakes my mind so that I cannot even do what I actually desire to do, and that's to live for God. So I needed a Savior to take me from this place of chains to free me so that when I can place my mind on God, but it's by His Holy Spirit that I'm even able to do it in the first place. So God even gives He gets the credit, He gets the glory, He gets the thank you, that I can even live pleasing to God because of your Spirit who lives within me. So the way we think, well, how we're placing it, or what our minds on, if we place our minds on the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, it's absolutely hostile to God, it's opposing to God, it's absolutely not going to please God in the least bit. And Paul encourages us that we need to place our minds on God and His Spirit, because we're absolutely incapable of living for Him. Because the controls that sin has on our lives is more than I can even express it, how tight grip it has. But I know that it's defeating for sure. But we, as we come to Christ, we submit our lives to Him, surrendering our lives to Him, and letting Him take hold of us. And it's at that place, Jesus says, "Stay there." Stay there. At the beginning of that relationship, stay there. Because when you start to pick up and you start to walk on your own, you're going to bring confusion, defeat, which is going to cause questions. And we could walk away from it. Because we end up saying, is God even real? Is He really that powerful? Yeah, you say it in the Scriptures that He is a powerful God, but I don't see it in my life. Well, I want to just pose again. If you're not seeing the power of God in your life, it's because maybe, just maybe, you're walking in your own power this Christian life. So my hope for today is these two things, actually three. One, that if you are walking with Jesus and you understand this relationship and what it means to walk with the Spirit, you're going to be just excited and praising God for the affirmation of your salvation. If you're a believer that's like, I just don't understand this Christian walk just yet, hopefully you will understand it a little bit better today and let the Holy Spirit continue to teach you as you go out of this room. And if you don't know Jesus, but you think you might, but you're defeated all the time because you don't have a relationship with Him other than coming to church, then you're going to understand what will take place. That you don't have a relationship with God, and God wants it so badly with you, more than just coming here in this room. And I know I speak from the congregation that I know that I speak to the majority that knows a relationship with Jesus. So it's my hope that we continue to walk and move in a direction that as He is leading us, that we will grow closer in a deep relationship with Him. So as we're in Romans, he's going to caution this relationship. So my question to you from last week is, has God been showing you this week how He will overcome the area in your life that you brought to the altar? Many of us came and we wrote something down and put it on the right on here on the altar, right out here. God, this is for you to have from us. Has God shown you this week more about what you brought to Him? And how He is going to take that in, out of your life, how He's going to empower you by His Holy Spirit, and what He's going to do in your life. Has that taken place, or did you forget it here on the altar? Because He hasn't forgotten it. And He has still been talking to you. Have you been listening? Have you taken the time to spend with Him? Have you taken the time to develop that relationship that He has so desperately wanted for you? That's the question for us if we haven't continued in that. So are you led by the Spirit? Because life is more than just involving God in our lives. It is surrendering to Him and giving ourselves to worship in Him and every decision and every action. Now, God says that we are not perfect. And in 1 John, talks about the advocate who speaks on my behalf when I fail. Because this message is not about living a perfect life for God. It's about relationship with Him and letting Him show us His power in our lives. Because we are going to fail. My flesh will rise up. I will listen to the flesh. I will put my mind on the flesh and do that, but it's by my choice that when I do it. And my hope for me and you is that we make those choices less and less and less as we grow in life. As we grow with God, that He becomes more important than my own fleshly desires and what I want. That is the hope. That's where we're going to find freedom in this life. So the verses that we're going to look at today, we're going to see three roles or three things take place. One is going to be the Spirit's role in my life, my responsibility, and the affirmation of salvation through relationship. We're going to see these three things that Paul's going to pull forward for us, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And the assurity of salvation, you will know before you leave this room. You will know if you are assured of your salvation in Christ by your life. So let's dig in. In Scripture, Romans 8, 9, if you'd like to stand with me, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm going to start off in Romans 8, verse 9. However, you are not of the flesh, but however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Make a mental note of that verse right there, that part. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Mental note, how many times has He talked about the Spirit dwelling in the believer right there? Okay? What God is doing in the life. What God is doing at that moment. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See how important it is? We're going to dissect this a little bit more as we go. But the leading of the Holy Spirit, God living in you, moving with Him, these are the ones who are the sons of God. For those who have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father. If the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, if the children are also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. You may be seated. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, continue to speak through us and hear. Help us to hear Your words in clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul's transitioning here in verse 9 for us the Spirit's role in what He does. But we are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God is dwelling in y'all. I like to put that y'all part because sometimes it's in the plural form because He's speaking to everybody. Sometimes when I translate it, it helps me to remember, okay, speaking to everybody, not just one person, because that's important. But if anyone not having the Spirit of Christ or the Messiah, he is not of Him. And as we look at this word, I want to point out the word to dwell. But before I do, let me read through the next couple verses again. But if Christ or the Messiah is in y'all, the body on the one hand is dead because of the sin. By the sin, but the Spirit is life because of the righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him, that is the God the Father, who raised Jesus out of the dead, is dwelling in you and y'all, He, that is God, who raised Christ, the Messiah, out from the dead, He will also make us alive or cause us to become alive again, become alive, the body through His Spirit dwelling in us. Now, what it's beautiful about these three verses is that God interweaves the Trinity, the Godhead, in this. Three verses. He shows his oneness. The three distinct roles, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, all of them working together. God is one. He's unified. But yet he has three persons. It's hard to explain that whole idea in our concept of understanding that, but it's the truth of the Scriptures that God has he's one but works in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Very important for the believers in the new church to understand this, because he's not teaching that Jesus was one God and the Father is a different God, but they're one and the same. So that a heresy wouldn't come out. But God is one. He also wants us to see that he does everything in this. Do you notice that? It's the Spirit of God, God raising up, God placing in, God moving through. It's the Spirit. God himself is doing everything in the life of a person. Isn't that beautiful? I think it's absolutely exciting. He gives life and freedom, and everything is because of him. And it's only him that can sustain that freedom, the dependency that we have upon him to do it. But in the flesh, in verse 9 again, but not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, referring to the control in your life. There's only one master. There's only one master that we can have. God, he desires only one master in our lives. I'm either led by the flesh or I'm led by the Spirit. There's only one of the two. I can't be led by both. Impossible. I either serve one or the other one. There's only one master in our lives. Who is it for you today? Truly. Because like we mentioned earlier, it's not just like kind of make God a part of my life. No, he is my life. There's a big distinction. He doesn't want to just be a part of your life. That's what other people are. No, he is our life. That is, he is my Lord. He's my master. He is the one I serve. Lord, help me that I serve you that way, that you are my life. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, I want to look at this word dwell here. This word dwell comes from the word oikos, which means a house or a dwelling. One of the beautiful aspects about this word that it can also mean literally that is of a marriage of living with, a husband and a wife. So we get this picture that the Spirit of God wants to dwell in us as if we're married. And we know scripturally that God says, when I marry, I don't divorce. I'm not going to do it. You might walk away from me, but I am not. So it gives me great comfort to know that when the Spirit says, I'm going to come and I'm going to live in you, I want to be so close to you. We know our marriage relationships are the closest relationship that we could possibly have, second to God. And it doesn't even compare to him. But he's close. He's intimate. He's desirous of us. So he comes and he wants to inhabit and live with us. But also, not only is it just coming and living with, but have you ever been in a place where you've been there so long that when you left, you had the smell of that place? You've ever been out in the, like in the field, and there was like these flowers or a rose garden or in a flower shop, and by the time you leave, you're in there for a while. You're dwelling in that place. You're staying. You're abiding. You're there for a while. And when you leave, you notice I still smell that smell. It's still with me. This is what the idea of this word has. God comes to dwell in and be with to such a manner and in such a degree that when people around me, they should smell him. They should sense him. They should feel him. They should know his presence just by being with him. That's what he desires from us. Have you been spending time with him this week? Have you been letting him permeate you with his scent? Or has it been more important to spend time with the TV, playing sports, studying for this, spending time with people, wasting time. Because in the midst of all of those moments, he is saying, I'm here. I'm ready. Spend time with me. I have something great to show you and share with you. I want to take you places. But I have a choice to place my mind with him. God, I want to be with you, and I want your presence to permeate me. And then, as in verse 12, as we come down, it starts to transition into my role. And it says this, so then, brethren, we are not debtors. Okay? We are not indebted. I'm freed from whatever's next. To the flesh. I'm freed from it. Not to be living in according to the flesh. I am not any longer controlled by the desires of my flesh, unless I desire to be controlled by it again. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you choose to be controlled by your own flesh. If you're an angry person, you choose to be controlled by that anger. Let God free you from it. Only He can do it. If you're hurt by somebody's words, only you can hold on to that hurt and let bitterness rise in your heart. You have to let the Holy Spirit take it away. I'm choosing to do that as a believer in Christ. If I don't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit doesn't live with me, then that's a totally different issue. I'm controlled by that anger. I might be able to put it in a nice little box and put it away for a little while, but it will rise back up and it will destroy, because that's what my nature does. If as a believer, if I hold on to bitterness, that will destroy because I'm living in my flesh. And if I think I can hold it back or just hold back that a little bit longer, hold back some words, hold those things back, eventually they're going to pop out. And I'm going to go, that's not normally me. But it helps me identify. I've been living in my flesh. I've been holding on. I've been trying to live life, trying to do it by my strength instead of handing it over to God and let God heal me with that. Because I might be afraid that he's going to take me in a place that says, okay, you're angry with them. Okay, now you got to go talk to them. Now you got to go show them some love. My love. Not yours, my love. Man, God, I really don't want to do that. So just let me put it in this box and hold it here, and I'll just maintain it. God has something better for you. He has freedom in your life. That will hold you back from freedom. That will hold you back from relationship. And he wants you to just, he wants your presence to be permeating his love, his character. And he will take that out of our lives. He will bring that back up. If you walk with him, and desire more of him, he will bring that back up to the surface. And he will let you see it. And he will say, who will you let be your master? Will you let this or will you let me? Who will you serve? Will you serve yourself for self-protection or will you serve me? These are hard words, aren't they? They really do cut us to the core because it challenges us. Wow. Who do I really, really want to live for? Who really directs my life? God wants everything in us. He wants us 100% living for him. And I can only do that as I surrender to him and let the Holy Spirit move in my life. And when he shows me those times when I'm living in my flesh, I say, God, I'm so sorry. And he says, I love you, son. Thank you. Thank you for handing that over to me. Thank you for acknowledging what I've already shown you in your life. So I'm not indebted to the flesh any longer. For if according to the flesh you're all living, this isn't, it's in the, it's in, it's a conduct, it's in living in this as if I'm conducting my life living in this whatever flesh that I'm living in, you're all going to be dying. Do I need to say more? You choose to live in your flesh as a practice of life, death is what comes. Death is what's going to follow. But he also says, but if you're all putting to death by the Spirit the deeds of the body, then you will live. It's all by the Spirit. Who is leading my life? Is it me or is it the Spirit? God wants devotion. Adam and Eve, they didn't go to, remember, they didn't go to him and say, God, did you really say that I wasn't able to eat from that tree? They tried to do life on their own and it brought death. Here's just another, it's an echo of that, of what happened in the garden. I live by my flesh, I'm going to bring death because he's not my master any longer. Your devotion, who is it to? Yourself, other things, to God? In Galatians 5:19 it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes and dissensions and factions. There's a lot of stuff right there. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, those who practice, that is carrying out these actions as a preoccupation, they live in these things. This is how they live. He's talking to believers, so-called believers. Yes, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, but yet I still live in these things because it's okay. I'm saved. I was baptized. He touched my life one day, but that was back then. But now I live in my own way. I do what I want to do. Basically, that's what he's saying. I live, my Lord and my Master is me. I'm going to, in my flesh. So I have chosen to put my mind on the flesh and live in that way. And he says, hey guys, look at this. Such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a big warning Paul has given to the people. You lack relationship with God, something else is going to happen. Let's go to Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a fragrant offering. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is proper for the saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For you know with certainty, and he uses this word in the past tense, in the past perfect, but it gives a present meaning what you knew already knew in the past. So in the Ephesian church, he's talking to believers. He's already shared with them, hey, guys, you live that way, something bad's going to happen. Here's what it is. No immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. He's forewarning the people. If your master becomes the flesh, you have rejected God in your life. This is the part where if you don't know Jesus or you know him but you don't really walk with him, this is the scary part, friends. This is where I don't want any of us to be in. I don't want any of us to look back in our past and say, yes, I accepted Christ 10 years ago and I was baptized and I was in church and, well, you know what? That's what I did. But today, that doesn't have an effect on me so much. I still live for myself. You know, in Galatians, it talks, after that, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit in the life of a person and what that looks like. And you can look at that at your own time. But if I'm living in bitterness, hatred, envy, any type of an idolatry, which is me putting myself above God, well, I'm not going to be a partaker of heaven. And it's important for us to understand this because Paul's talking to believers or those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because only God knows the heart of a person. And every one of us sitting in here that says, hey, I love Jesus. Only God knows if you truly, truly love Jesus. But Paul is saying, if you love Jesus Christ and he is the Lord of your life, there will be a difference in your life, but you have to choose who your Lord is going to be. And who will you follow? If you still follow yourself after knowing about God, knowing about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and you choose yourself still, you might not yet have really understood who he is yet. affirmations of salvation or affirmations of not really knowing who God is. We know that there's only one sin that separates us from God eternally: rejection of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died for every single sin on that cross, every single bad choice I could ever make, now and in the future. He died for absolutely every one of them. The only one that I am not covered with is if I reject Him personally. And that's the rejection of the Holy Spirit in my life, of Him moving and leading me. Because as we define what a biblical believer is I am righteous and I'm a friend of God because of believing His way of salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? And because of this faith, it also involves surrender to His Lordship, because He's not only the Savior, but He is God Almighty. There is no other Lord except Him. And Acts 2:36 talks about this. There's also a dependency on Him that I need your help, God. I need your help. Which is encouraging, because certain addictions are a little bit more difficult than other ones. Would you agree with me on that one? Some are physical. Some are spiritual. Those are different. Some are emotional. Those are different. And they're all handled a little bit differently. But if I'm calling out to God saying, I know you died for all those sins that I struggle with right now, and I believe that you will help me through these, and I need you, I need you, I need you, that is a child of God. Even though they might not feel like they are, hear the word feel, because they struggle, they are a child of God because they're calling out to Him. I can't do this life. Friends, they're way closer than many of us when I think I am so strong in my own self. That person's way closer to knowing God than I am if I think I can handle this life on my own, because I'm not a drug addict, because I'm not an alcoholic, because I don't have an emotional dependency on something and I think I'm okay. No, I should still be calling out to God saying, I need you in everything, just like that person does, because that's the relationship. I need you, God, to help me. So the next time you see somebody who's struggling with drugs, struggling with emotional dependency, you can lift them up and know that their relationship is still true. Just encourage them. Walk with them in this life, because life is painful. So we see this allegiance and this relationship. Who do I serve? It just that pattern comes back and it comes back and it comes back. Who is this that I serve? Because God will give me the power to be freed eventually from those grips. I have friends who are drug addicts, love Jesus, struggle, but they love Jesus. I don't doubt their salvation, because they say, I need God to help me get up. I need help. I need God to help me figure out what I'm going to eat today. I need God to help me think, because if I think too much on something else, I might go do it. And I say, brother, you're just like me. I need God to help me get up. I need God to help me figure out what I'm going to eat, because is it good for me? What's God teaching me and showing me? I need God to help me think, so my mind doesn't go on the flesh. Does that make sense? Is this resonating? I'm just like them. I just have different struggles. But we both have a relationship, and God sets us free. So I have this tension. Who am I living for? Which brings death. Paul is stressing to the believers that following Christ is more than just that point in time and surrender, but it's that walking relationship daily with Him. Every moment of the day, dependency upon Him. The security that I have when I accepted Christ, that I'm saved, but I can live the way I want to and do what I feel like I want to, and if it really doesn't bother anybody else, then I'm okay. That's not biblical Christianity. So the question again, who am I really living for? Because in Acts 2:36, he says, God has made Him, Jesus Christ, both Lord and Christ, Lord and Savior. Can't separate the two. Who am I dependent upon? That relationship that that God has established. In Galatians 5:16, for the believer, and for those who are not really sure how this really works out, the Spirit of God in our lives, what does that look like? What does that take? How does that transpire? Galatians 5:16. It says, but I say, y'all walk. And he says it very strongly, uses it in imperative form. Y'all walk by the Spirit. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That is a truth, because if I set my mind on the Spirit, I will only do the things of the Spirit. I need his help to put my mind on the Spirit of doing these things. But he says this, and he says it in the present form, that I'm going to be doing it right now. It's a daily moment. It's a moment by moment. I have to do this to walk. And this word walk means to go and spend time with. So as the Spirit of God is dwelling within us, spending time with us, wanting to permeate us with his presence, my responsibility is I need to want to walk with him. If you're married and you go to walk with your spouse, it's a beautiful time. When it's just you two and you're just spending time with each other, and Michelle and I had our anniversary yesterday, and we went out to eat, and it was just her and me. It was a beautiful time where we could focus on just us, reminisce about the days of old and how God has brought us and moved us and drawn us closer together. That relationship, those principles are no different than our relationship with God. As I walk with him and I spend time with him, he will show me what he brought me from and how he's walked with me through life. We were sharing in our morning class about an experience that I had that I think parallels with this. Michelle and I have always tried to eat healthy. When I was in high school, man, I ate way too much sugar. Way too much sugar. Was an athlete, said, hey, it won't bother me, it won't bother me. Later on, found out, boy, I was eating way too much sugar. And my mom would say, oh, you're eating, stop, you don't eat. It's okay, it's all right, it's no problem. I work out, I run, it's no problem. What I found out later was, oh, it really is damaging my body. And Michelle was great. We're not going to eat that. We're going to eat differently. So we would modify, cut it out. I thought we were doing great. Well, we had a conversation, said, you know what? We're trying to keep healthy, but man, it's just still really hard. Why do we still got some of this excess that we don't want? Well, I don't get it. So I looked it up. How much added sugar can a man have? 35 grams a day. I said, what? How much is that? Is that a lot? Actually, it's not that much at all. For a woman, it's 25. So I started to monitor. Well, how much? I can have two of these little cookies. I can't have sweet tea now. I got to cut it in half. Maybe a fourth of the sugar that I used to have in it. It didn't really taste too good now. God, I can't do this. I thought I was doing pretty good, but I can't do this, God. You know I'm going to do well for maybe 3 days, and then I'm going to go back and go to McAllister's and get that beautiful, gigantic sugar sweet tea. That's so delicious that I can just go get right now. That's what I'll do. That's what I will do in my own strength. I said, God, I can't do this. I'm going to need your help to do this. This is what walking with the Spirit looks like. I need your help, God. God says, okay, I'm right here to help you. I would love to help you because I know this is good for you. So I modify it. I'm doing great because of his strength. It was awesome. And then there was a day that my body and my flesh said, hey, why don't you just go ahead and get a little bit more? Go and get a little bit more. I'm like, I remember what that tasted like. It was pretty good. I think I need some more of that. And I started to eat a little bit more than what I was supposed to. And God said, you asked me for my help. And I said, I'd give you my help. But right now you're rejecting me. You're not walking with me right now. If you don't walk with me, you're going to pay the consequences of what you're doing. And this fear hit me. Because I've done that before in my life. Where I have rejected the Holy Spirit moving in my life when he said to specifically do something and I walked away from it and said, no, that's okay, God, let me do this anyways. I'll come back to you later. Not good. My fleshly choices bring destruction. He is a gracious, compassionate God who is forgiving and will restore, but my consequences will still be there. So I remembered from my relationship of walking with him in the past, put that down. It's not worth it. It is not worth letting the power of God move in your life. It is not worth putting it off to the side and saying, oh, God will forgive me later. I'll just ask him later and he'll restore me later. It doesn't work that way. The consequences are painful. Because he can always say, yeah, I'm going to help you, but now I'm going to make it harder so you really depend on me next time. Yeah, you didn't get it through your head. You weren't a child who said, oh, Lord, please, yes. I understand. I'll trust you with this. I was selfish at those moments. And I praise God that he gave me the strength to put it down. Freedom continued. Freedom abounded. And he deepens me in the relationship. I'm allowed to have 20... I go to 25 grams a day. He says, none today, please. Let's just go 15. Let's cut back. Will you do it for me? Will you listen to me? Will you let me lead you in this journey? Will you let me drive you deeper than what you think you can go? Because you got to trust me and you got to depend on me. This is the relationship we have with God. In every single aspect of our life, I ask him, God, I need your help. I'm there for you. This isn't mind over matter, because I know I cannot stay away from the sweet jar on my own strength the way you're supposed to. I need his power to do it in my life. I need his power in my life to stay away from bitterness. I need his power in my life to love the unlovable. I need his power in my life to get up in the morning to spend time with him because my body says stay in bed. I need to ask him, Lord, is it okay to stay in bed today? And let him respond in my spirit. There is a dynamic in the flesh that says away from God and a dynamic in the spirit says come to God. And God moves in the life of a person who says, God, I need your help, he puts my mind on him. He's the one who takes it and says, thank you. It's mine, and I've got control. And I will give you power over it. Only you have a choice to stay there. Friends, this week, as you journey with God, walk with him that way. I know I've gone over a little bit more time, but today was a day that we needed to get through this dynamic. And there's one other part, and then we're going to close. A little bit later in Galatians 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit. If you're a child of God, you say, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you have the power of Christ in you. Set your mind on him. Let him prove to you who he is in your life. Let him show you the power that he has, that he will give you. It's a journey. My struggle with just that what some would say that's a silly struggle of sugar addiction, it's not. It's big because it's a master. And it doesn't matter what your master is, it's a master. And he wants to rip it out of our lives. So let him do it. Let him do it. Hand it over to him. The word, he says, if you live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit. Now, he gives us a different word for the word walk. In the Greek, he uses stoichio, which means to walk in rows or side by side. And it comes from the word of walking in a range that is in regular lines. We use it in the military when we've got a soldier, and they're walking together, and they look the same. We see it on TV when China shows their military power, or North Korea shows it, or Russia shows their military power, or when our own soldiers walk in a line together. They're walking side by side together. And I think it's absolutely beautiful that Paul uses these two words. One, walk with God, spend time with him. But then he also uses that word stoichio, that God is also, he's not only living in us, he's living right beside us, and he wants us to imitate and walk exactly with him by his own strength. And I'll be in step with him in everything. So when I have a struggle, I say, God, I can't do this. I can't love that person. He says, okay. You're right, you can't. But I can through you, and thank you for submitting that over to me, and I will let you love through him, and I'm going to show you how to do it. Will you trust me and walk with me and let me do it in your life? And I say, yes, Lord. He says, okay, let's walk. This is how it looks. This is how. I said, no, you know what? I'm not doing it. He said, do you want to walk with me? Do you want to stoichio with me? Do you want to walk in alignment with me as I'm your master and Lord? Then this is what it looks like. Make your choice. And eventually, because I know without him life is absolutely hopeless. I know that because he has shown me that. If that has been true in your life, eventually you'll say, okay, God, I will listen. Help me to listen. Help me to follow. My encouragement for you today is that as you walk out these doors and you go to this week, what God has shown you last week and what you brought to him, these are the things I struggle with. God wants to now take you by the hand, the spiritual hand, give you the power to walk with him to overcome what you brought. Then he's going to show you the next thing. Then he's going to show you the next thing, and it's going to be like that for the rest of our lives until he becomes the master of everything in our lives. That will be the affirmation of your salvation, that you have a living relationship with God that covers every single mistake that we've ever made or will make, because he died for that on the cross, so that we could have this relationship to walk with him and let him show us more of himself and the power that he has given us through his death and resurrection. Isn't that beautiful? For the believer, this is an exciting message, because I have a God who walks with me. For the one who is a believer but doesn't walk with God daily, now you have the opportunity to see what it looks like. Talk to somebody who you trust, who you see this relationship with. Talk to them about it. Let them encourage you. For the one who doesn't know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, who hasn't said, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Friends, Paul is very clear. You will not be with him eternally. We might know friends out there. Talk to him about it. Show your relationship with God. Share your heart with him and what God is doing in your life. Lord, I thank you so much that you walk with us and you're with us, and we have a dependency upon you for absolutely everything in our life. What you produce in us is all a glory to you, because I am absolutely incapable of being able to produce anything good in my life. Lord, I need your help in everything. Lord, I pray that's our prayer. It's our motto. That is our scream, our chant, whatever you call it, that this is what we do. We call out to you for help in absolutely everything, because you are a God that never forsakes us and never walks away, and you will walk through us through every single trial. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.